Stories of love and betrayal happen all the time. For this particular one, author Ben McIntyre needed the First World War, a British soldier trapped behind enemy lines in France, a beautiful woman, a love affair, and an informer. McIntyre's book is titled The Englishman's Daughter.
I turned to the little old lady who was sitting in a wheelchair next to me and said, "What brings you here?" And she lifted a shaky finger and said in French, "C'était mon père." That was my father. And this was the daughter that Robert Digby had left behind.
McIntyre's story is a true one. Digby was among several English soldiers hidden from the Germans by French villagers in the Great War.
In August 1914, at the very start of the First World War, with the British Expeditionary Force in pell-mell retreat, four British soldiers, led by this particular character called Robert Digby, ended up, after many scrapes and horrific close calls, they ended up in a little village called Viarais, which is about 10 miles inside German-occupied northern France. So they were about 10 miles from what would eventually become the Somme battlefield. And there they were effectively adopted by this tiny village of perhaps 300 souls who, in a sort of collective act of heroism, decided to protect them. The Villeray villagers effectively took a collective decision to try and turn them into Frenchmen by teaching them the local patois and dressing them in civilian clothes.
And some of them did pretty well at that.
Some of them did very well. It was extremely perilous time because every village, including Villeray, had many German soldiers billeted. Indeed, at some points, Germans billeted in every single house, so the chances of being caught were huge. Digby spoke extremely good French. He was highly educated, although only a private. He managed to fit very effectively into the camouflage. So much so, indeed, did he become absorbed into this world that he fell in love with a girl called Claire Dessen, who was, by popular acclaim and indeed historical acclaim, the most beautiful girl in the village. And their love affair really changed the chemistry and dynamics in this little village completely.
Upset her former suitors, of course.
Well, her former suitors were distinctly less than gruntled. Her mother was furious. His fellow soldiers, some of them were less pleased than others, but there were still people in the village more than prepared to put themselves in acute danger by effectively supporting this love affair. And in a way, that's what this book is about. It's about how very ordinary people react in very different ways to horrific circumstances of war. And some didn't think twice about this, whereas others, the whispering began very intensely.
Which produced more jealousies.
And compounded them when, on the eve of the Battle of the Somme, perhaps the bloodiest, well, certainly the bloodiest engagement involving British forces in the First World War, Claire Dessen had a baby called Hélène, who was named after Robert's mother, Ellen. And at that point, the whispering became intensified yet more. And one has to bear in mind at this point that the occupied French of behind the lines had at this point been living cheek by jowl with German soldiers for getting on for 2 years. And the soldiers that had appeared to be these rapacious Hun in the beginning of the war had become rather familiar figures to many of them. The occupying Germans of the First World War were not the ideological Nazis of the Second World War. They were in many cases conscripts or young Germans who really weren't there for ideological reasons, and they were quite sympathetic. So as you can see, the layers of complication begin to build up very considerably.
The French were sharing their meager supplies of food and, of course, shelter and clothing for these prisoners, and taking enormous risk because they all would have been shot if this had been discovered.
Indeed, and the local commandant in the area we're talking about was a particularly weird, paranoid, and very cruel individual called Karl Evers, who was convinced, quite rightly, that there were spies around. And he repeatedly advertised the fact that if he caught anyone, he would have them shot immediately. So there's no doubt that the French protectors knew they were putting their own lives on the line by doing this.
But ultimately, Digby and his mates were betrayed.
They were. 6 months after Hélène was born, the four of them were in a hayloft, and the German military police marched into the village and headed straight for the hayloft. There was no doubt they knew exactly where they were going. Digby moved faster than the others and managed to leap out of a window and ran across the fields and hid in a little copse from which they failed to get him out. There weren't enough soldiers basically to flush him out, so he went to ground. The other three were captured, tried as spies and sentenced to death. And at this point, Digby, you can imagine, had been hiding in this wood for getting on for 3 days without food. A message was brought to Digby in the woods by the acting mayor, a man called Emile Marier, who arrived and basically said that he'd got a message from the local commandant that if Digby gave himself up, he would be given safe passage. And by implication, because it was well known in the locality that the girl was his and that they had had a daughter, they would be spared too. I don't think there's any evidence that Digby really believed this. He must have been told that his compatriots had already been tried and sentenced. He decided to give himself up. I suspect, although we don't have this on authority, it's pretty clear that he did so in the expectation that it was the only way he was going to save his little family. And he walks back into the village of Villeray in May 1916 and is promptly arrested, tried, and again sentenced to death.
You attempt to figure out who betrayed Digby, and there is no shortage of suspects, so you go one by one with each of them.
Well, one of the fascinating things about this story is that, in a great French bureaucratic way, everybody was encouraged to write down their account of what had happened after the war. And everybody, naturally, had their own suspicions, and everybody fingers everybody else. So the list of suspects is very long. But I have my own suspicions. I won't give it away because, in fact, I was fortunate enough to come across a document that I certainly believe provides the strongest proof of who did it. And indeed, there is a song that they still sing in this part of northern France, which is called Le Bébé Rose, which describes what happened to the British soldiers. It became a marching song in the Second World War, and it is quite clear in this song and from other evidence that another woman was responsible for it.
Ben McIntyre is a reporter for The Times of London. His new book is titled The Englishman's Daughter, A True Story of Love and Betrayal in World War I.